Welcome to the M2I Alternative Investments Chat, where we demystify the world of alternative investments and financing for entrepreneurs and investors alike. With these discussions, we hope you're more empowered to unlock new opportunities in your business or portfolio. Hello, and welcome back. Again, I am Erica. This is Erin. Today, we're going to talk about alternative investments and how they can assist you in retirement. So first, let's touch on retirement. Mm-hmm. When can you retire? All of that good stuff. So
when, today.
If I can today, get my cup. I'm going. So when you retire comes down to when you want to retire. And then when you'll actually have enough money to retire. Because you have to save up some of that money. Mm-hmm. So some people retire early because they want to, or they have to, maybe like something medical happens. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people actually retire later mm-hmm. in life. And we're seeing that more, again, sometimes because they have to, and sometimes because they want to. Many people find it's best to slowly ease out of that workforce mm-hmm. Rather than just like, I retire today.
Yeah.
And then they don't have anything to do.
Sure.
So for many people, that age of retirement is 67. However, we pay in on our paychecks to Social Security, and you can actually start taking those funds at 62. Mm-hmm. Now, if you do start at that age, it's going to be a lower amount. Mm-hmm. So you kind of want to hang tight. So typically, the longer that you wait to claim Social Security, the bigger the monthly check is.
Sure.
So benefits depend on your earnings and what time you decide to retire, if you're at full retirement age at 67 or if you start sooner. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a lot of people are retiring right around 70, mm-hmm. Which makes me very sad because that means I have 30 more years to work. So we ain't never getting this check.
It's like another lifetime.
It is. I'm like, oh man, as we were doing our research for this, I was like, oh, 70, that's not that bad. And then I was like, oh no, that's bad. I don't want to wait that long. So exactly why you need to start investing so that hopefully I don't have to retire when I'm 70.
Yeah.
So if we go back to that retirement age, your check would be roughly $3,822 per month if you started taking benefits at your full retirement age, that's 67. Mm-hmm. But if you waited until you were 70, it's going to be $4,873 per month. So it does bump up that check a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, if you started at 62, mm-hmm. you're only getting $2,710.
Yeah.
Which is not a, it's a chunk of money, yeah. But I don't think if you're used to a certain lifestyle, that's not going to be very beneficial.
Right.
So Erin, let's talk about how you start preparing for retirement. When does that happen? What should we do? Let's touch on some of those points.
Yeah, absolutely. When does it happen? I mean, theoretically, you should start planning for retirement as soon as you possibly can.
Out the womb.
Yeah, out the womb, if possible. No, but, you know, I've heard a lot of stories of young people not starting to think about retirement. And it is beneficial to start thinking about retirement as soon as you can if you're in a full-time position and you are able to start planning for your retirement and put some funds away. That's helpful. So start saving and keep saving and don't touch it. There's also stories of people putting their money away. And, of course, life happens. I know that. But if as much as you humanly, as much as humanly possible, try not to touch that money. If you've been saving for retirement, pretend like that money doesn't exist to you.
Yeah.
And many banks actually offer high yield savings accounts, of course, to help you start with your savings journey so you can get some of that return back.
That's great. So you get a little bit of money for your money just chilling in their vault.
Exactly. Yeah. Also know what your retirement needs are. Like you said, maintaining a certain level of lifestyle is something that you want to think about. Experts estimate that you need about 70 to 90% of your pre-retirement income to maintain your standard of living. So that's something that you should think about.
That's a lot if you think about it. So
it is, yes. And Social Security retirements alone only replace about 40% of that income on average. So you can't exactly rely on Social Security in and of itself. If you want to maintain a certain level of lifestyle, that's just only going to help you with a portion of that.
If you're fine downsizing, getting rid of a car, living in a cardboard box, maybe social security.
Not the cardboard box. No, but it is something to think about if, you know, if you also, if you have payments or if you plan to help contribute to your grandchildren in any capacity, that's just something to think about. Most employers or a lot of employers have what's called a 401k plan. That's like the traditional way to start saving for retirement. Mm-hmm. If you can contribute, that's super helpful. And also a lot of companies will do a match. So they'll, if you contribute 4% of your paycheck, they'll contribute 4% to match that. So that's helpful because it's basically free money that's going into this retirement plan, which is super helpful.
Yeah, that's really helpful. So.
Yeah. And also you can put this into your own individual retirement account, which can be similar to a 401k, but it's a fund that you manage on your own. So it's not managed by a company that your employer works with. And this is a great option. If you don't have access to a 401k through your employer, you can still contribute to a retirement fund on your own. You don't need to have an employer that helps you with that, although that is nice.
Yeah.
And
if you're your own employer and you're, you know.
Well, that too. Yeah, of course. And an IRA, you can have an IRA with a 401k. You can have multiple different funds. You don't just have to have one. And IRAs can actually provide certain tax advantages for retirement savings. And you are allowed to contribute each year up to the maximum, which is $6,500. And so those are kind of like more of the traditional ways that you can start planning for retirement financially. Other ways to plan for retirement are investing. Of course, if you can find an opportunity to put your money and let it grow, that helps you have more money in the end. So you can invest in traditional investments, stocks, bonds, cash. This method has been used for forever and, of course, can sometimes be volatile. So this is what we've been talking about on this podcast is alternative investments to the rescue. That helps you diversify your portfolio.
That's great. I remember when growing up, my grandfather played the stocks. We called it playing the stocks. And we would go to his house and he would give each one of me and my sisters the 3 to 4 letter, you know, that they use for the stock market.
Yeah.
And it was, we thought it was a game. So he would give us ours, like DIS is Disney, and we'd have to watch for it. And then we'd have to quietly remember the name or remember the number and then tell him at the very end. And we thought it was the funnest thing ever. So I've been exposed to the stock market for a long time. Now, if you got money out of it, I'm not sure, but
yeah. Yeah, but it was
a game to us.
It was for you.
Yeah.
So with alternatives, that's just a reminder. That's anything that's not stocks, bonds, or cash. If you have some questions on certain types of alternatives, you can check out different episodes of this podcast where we dive into some different alternatives, and we'll continue to do that as this podcast goes on. Alternatives have a potential for higher returns, which can be really attractive for investors, and sometimes have no correlation with traditional like stocks and bonds, which
is the stock market game.
Yes, which can help diversify your portfolio. So, of course, there is benefits such as risk reduction overall, although a certain alternative investment might be seen as more risky than a traditional stock or bond. Spreading your eggs across all baskets can help actually reduce risk in total and can help keep your portfolio balanced. Also, there are smooth returns, which is different investment platforms perform differently under varying economic conditions. And if you have those mix of assets, that can help smooth out the volatility and help you achieve stable returns over time.
Yeah.
So again, just helping you with your portfolio overall can protect against inflation. Some investments might be slow growing, others offer high growth potential, and this balance can help you achieve your long-term retirement goals. And they can also help adapt to changing conditions. So market conditions and economic environments change over time, as we know, and a diversified portfolio is better positioned to adapt to these changes as they come, as opposed to one portfolio that is just focused on one investment. It's because if that investment doesn't go so well, then you're kind of in the hole.
Yeah.
If your goal is to help sustain a steady income stream, which I think is something that a lot of people who are planning for retirement think about, obviously you're not working a job anymore. So having your biweekly checks come in, that's not something that's happening anymore.
No. We discussed already, those Social Security checks are not
Right.
They not substantial.
Right. They might not be able to help you upkeep your standard of living. So if you're looking for investments that still have those stable incomes that are coming in, we'll kind of dive into some different options there. Erica, do you want to touch on our first one, real estate?
Yeah. So real estate in a retirement portfolio is a wonderful benefit, especially if you have like rental properties. So think like Airbnb, vacation houses, things of that nature. So owning rental properties can provide you with a regular stream of income, like you were saying earlier. And it can be helpful during that time because not only are you getting that Social Security check that's, you know, pennies, then you've got your renters or Airbnbs, you know, those are extremely popular right now. So someone comes and stays in your house and they're going to pay you for it like they would pay at a hotel. So you're getting those checks every, you know, like you said, biweekly or weekly or whatever, monthly. Yeah. If you're charging renters, you know, we typically pay at the first of the month. So those can be a great addition for your portfolio. Mm-hmm. And also with owning actual physical properties, there is the potential for appreciation. So real estate values can increase over time, potentially leading to, you know, substantial capital gains when you sell that property. We see this now with the way the market is like, you know, you bought your house for $300,000 and all of a sudden it's almost $1 million home. If that was just a rental property, you're like, you know what? I don't want to play with the rental game anymore. I don't want to have to deal with renters. I don't want to have to deal with upkeep, at least knowing that you can sell that property and potentially make some more money on it. Mm-hmm. And then there's an inflation hedge to owning property as well. Real estate often increases in value, like we said, and your rental income can rise over time. So think about how rents have gone up over time. So you might be able to rent that same house and let's say you charged your tenant $1,000 a month. Now, the way the market's going, you can actually charge them $2,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And just keep that flow of income coming in.
Right.
There's also those great things that we just talked about in an episode two ago, REITs. So that's where you take your money collectively and you give it to somebody and they invest in like big properties, office buildings, apartment complexes, mm-hmm. malls, hotels, all those. So you can always do that. And then they pay back in dividends, which is great. So, you know, again, if you want to understand REITs, tune into that podcast that we did. But just quickly, they are real estate investment trusts. And then the company, like I said, owns and operates or finances income producing real estate across a range of varieties.
Yeah.
And the great thing is that you don't have to manage them yourself.
Right.
So you give your money, they do the thing, and then they pay you out in dividends. So the cool thing about dividends is that by law, they have to distribute 90% of their taxable income to their shareholders. Mm-hmm. So there's no way that they can just be like, oh, well, this month you're going to get 25%. It's like every month they have to give you their full 90%. And this is also, you know, extremely attractive for that steady inflow, steady income stream, especially during retirement. And then with, again, owning that property out proper, there is that liquidity. So you can always sell it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it might take a little bit longer, but there is always that option.
Yeah. There's even liquidity with REITs too, because you can liquidate those fairly easily. So that can be attractive.
Yeah. A lot of REITs, investors, as we discussed in our previous podcast, that they are kind of dealt more like a share, like a stock. Mm-hmm. So you can quickly sell those off. You don't have to wait for the whole property to sell before you get your full money back. Mm-hmm. So that's actually really great. If you're like, okay, you know what? I'm kind of where I'm at and where I need to be.
Right.
I'm just going to sell those off. And then like we mentioned earlier, there is that professional management with REITs. So you don't have to go. You're not the one changing the light bulb, you know, fixing the stuff.
Maintaining the property.
If somebody or something happens, it's somebody else doing
it. Right. Yeah, totally.
Now you can always invest in debt offerings. So let's touch on what that actually means, Erica.
Yeah. So debt offerings, we again talked about this in a previous podcast. So if you want to learn more about debt offerings as just like a typical investor or learn a little bit more about that, you can tune into our previous episode. But today we'll be touching more on how a debt offering can be beneficial for your portfolio in terms of planning for retirement. What is a debt offering? We could just quickly touch on that. It's a method used by organizations such as governments, corporations, or other entities to raise capital, issuing debt instruments to investors as opposed to giving up a portion of equity. And these instruments represent a loan made by an investor to the issuer. So if I'm the company and I'm trying to raise capital, you give me money, Erica, and I tell you in 5 years, I'm going to pay you back this money with 10% interest. So that's how that works. And there are several different examples of, these sorts of debt offerings, corporate bonds, municipal bonds, and private debt placements. They're more common than you think. A lot of companies, even Apple, has utilized debt offerings in order to raise capital as well.
Yeah.
So what are the benefits of this type of investment for your retirement? Again, that stable income stream. That's number one reason why we included these examples in this episode is because of that. You get regular interest payments known as coupon payments on a lot of these debt offerings, and they can also help create predictable and stable income for you so that you know it's coming, and that can help you maintain your lifestyle that you want to and have that consistent cash flow. There's also something called capital preservation. So there is the principal repayment, which most debt securities such as government bonds and high-quality corporate bonds are designed to return the principal amount, the face value at maturity. So you're getting that back. If you are the person who is investing in a debt offering, you're getting back your principal amount plus interest. So that could be attractive. And this can help you ensure that you get back the amount that you invested.
Well, like you said, it's a loan. So you're expecting, if I loan you $5, I'm expecting you to pay me the full $5 back.
Right. Yes. And also there can be tax advantages to this as well. There are tax exempt bonds. Certain types of bonds, such as municipal bonds, actually offer tax advantages. Interest income from municipal bonds is often exempt from federal income taxes, and in some cases, state and local taxes as well. So you're not siphoning off a portion of that money. Mm-hmm. You get to keep more of it. So I just kind of want to quickly walk through an example. If you were to invest in a debt offering issued by a company looking to raise capital. So let's say that you've been saving your money and you decide that you want to retire in 10 years and you give $75,000 to this company over a 10-year term with an interest rate of 11%. Often these types of investments actually offer higher interest rates due to the higher perceived risk sometimes, and also that longer maturity, right? If you're giving somebody your money for 10 years and you're not going to touch it, there's usually a higher interest rate that is associated with that.
Yeah, because like a typical high-yield savings account, I think the highest I've ever seen is like 4.6%. Yeah. So 11 seems very enticing.
Yeah, 11's high and it's enticing. That's why, this can be attractive. So let's say, you don't need this money right now. Mm-hmm. And this is money that you've been saving up that you haven't been touching or utilizing in any way. So you give it away and you let it sit for the 10 years. At the end of that term, you would have earned over $150,000 in interest and your investment value would be over $225,000. So it's grown a lot,
yeah,
right? If it's compounding and your money is fully compounding, there's huge upside to the amount of potential return that you have.
It's better than hiding it in your mattress,
yeah,
or a wall or whatever.
Yeah. Of course it is. And so now that you are ready to retire, instead of you getting back that money all in one lump sum, which, of course you could, you decide to take a monthly check instead and let the remainder of your investment continue to compound over time. So you're getting a little bit of your income stream coming out and it's also continuing to grow a bit. So why would an investor do this? Interest income is taxable, so you might not want to pull out all of that money at one time and, have a big portion of your earnings taxed.
Taxes.
Exactly. And you can also get that passive income that can help sustain you through retirement. And why would a company do this? They don't have to pay you this large lump sum all at once. So for them, they can, pay out money per time. It's like, If you get a loan, like, why do you get a car loan? Because you don't want to pay, write a check for $30,000 all at once. You want to give that money over time because it's more comfortable to you. So that's also, same thing applies here.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So Erica, can you expand a little bit more on some strategies for incorporating alternatives into your retirement plan?
Yes. So when you're, again, sitting down thinking about when you get to retire, you want to think about how you're going to live out your retirement in comfort by carefully managing your investment portfolio over time. That's going to be the key to all of it. Your investment portfolio is the sum total of all your investments across your various accounts, your stocks, your alternatives, your home, you know, even your vehicle. So you want to make sure you take all those, and then that grows throughout the time you're working, always trying to build that up so you can provide income when you do retire that's going to maintain that lifestyle. You might drive a Jeep right now that is lifted. Well, when you're 80 years old, you're not going to be able to get in that Jeep. So trying to figure out how to, you can sell that and get something that's a little bit less expensive, like a very nice sedan. And then, you still keep that money for your portfolio so you can live comfortably. And then as your risk tolerance and time horizon changes throughout your lifetime, your investment portfolio strategy is also going to need to change. Mm-hmm. Again, what you needed in your 20s while you're saving is not what you're going to need when you're 70.
Yeah.
So you have to constantly reevaluate those important things for yourself so you can make sure to make changes and put things in different buckets. You know, playing the stock market game might be fun at the very beginning, but if you want to long-term, looking into those alternative investments is going to be what's going to really help you.
Yeah.
And then your portfolio should always contain the appropriate balance of investments for growth, income, and capital preservations. Again, we're in stages in life, you're in different categories. So when we're young, we want to grow that money, and then as we're older, we want to maintain that capital.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure your portfolio contains all those. And then as you report, again, retirement age, your risk tolerance often changes. We just talked about that. And your focus is less on that growth and more on those preservation of income.
Mm-hmm.
How can I continue to keep a check coming to me so that I can make sure I can pay my bills, maybe go to the Bahamas, whatever makes you happy. And then, the ideal portfolio is always ultimately dependent on you and what you're willing to do to reach your goals.
Yeah.
Again, some people are very comfortable investing large portions of money. Some are not. Some are comfortable with it sitting and doing its thing for 10 years. Some may not be.
Yeah.
They can make, maybe they only going to invest for 1 year. Your interest rate might be a little bit lower on your return, but it's still making some money. Mm-hmm. Everything depends on you. And then always you want to consult with a financial advisor, tailoring those alternative investments to you.
Mm-hmm.
No two portfolios are going to be the same. My retirement portfolio is going to look different than yours. Even yours is probably going to look different than your sister's or whatever it may be, because everyone has different goals that they want to, reach once they retire. Which again is a long way away. Dream world.
It is. But the benefit of it being a long way away is that you can start now. And hopefully, when that long time away comes, finally, you're in a good position. So, when you are saving for retirement, try to take advantage of the ability to compound your interest. If you can get money on top of money for free money, kind of, that is super helpful. Yeah. And regardless of your age, portfolio diversification can help you maintain a stable and reliable investment returns. That's true if you are thinking about retirement now or you're not, just in terms of your investments, that's super helpful.
Again, spread those eggs.
Yeah, spread your eggs.
Spread those all over.
Exactly. And investing in real estate, REITs, and certain debt offerings can provide you with that passive income that can help you maintain your pre-retirement lifestyle and help, cushion those Social Security checks.
Yeah.
And select investments that make sense to you and your retirement goals. This is about you. This isn't about anybody else. So think about that. And be sure to, explore some alternative investment options and see how that might fit into your portfolio and how those investments might be good for looking forward to retirement in 30 years.
Don't remind me.
Yeah. Well,
don't remind me.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of M2I Alternative Investments Chat. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for more insight on our next episode. And don't forget to subscribe to continue the journey with M2I. See you next time.
Content provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as professional, financial, or investment advice. This podcast should not be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy any securities. We strongly recommend that you seek advice from a qualified professional before making any financial decisions.